Welcome to episode 312 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. And I am running solo today. My name is Valerie. Amber is not here for this episode. She is handling good life things, and I told her to focus on that and not be here. So I'm running the show today. So I'm going to jump right on into this because I don't have any cosplay or CosPod updates. I have been busy working on the topic for this episode, a topic that you all helped us decide on during the last after session. We tried an AI-generated sewing pattern, and it was an experience, TM. For our listening audience, I would strongly recommend that you watch this episode on our YouTube channel because this is 100% a visual-heavy episode. I did do quite a lot of talking in it, but the visuals accompanying it make it so much worthwhile. I did a lot of recording and a lot of editing on this one. Before we get to the topic at hand, I want to state that this is an experiment that was done for educational purposes. I did block out the names of the Etsy sellers involved with this experiment. Please do not go look for them and harass them. Be cool people, okay? Okay, so with that out of the way and nothing else to share, we're just gonna go straight into it. Please enjoy the sewing pattern madness. After episode 311, we decided we wanted to visually demonstrate why AI sewing patterns are bad and not worth spending your money or your time on. What better way to do it than to show one of us putting together a pattern, sewing it, and sharing the results? This isn't a new idea. There are several content creators that have sewn AI-generated patterns. What we wanted to do with this episode was sew the pattern following the instructions as they are provided, not using our existing sewing brains, and then go through how to adjust the pattern to closely match the AI-generated image and produce a better fit. Cosplay is an accessible hobby that anyone can jump into, but with these AI-generated patterns flooding the market, it can be very difficult to join in and experience the joy of sewing, because a bad pattern or poor instructions can be a roller coaster of negative emotions. It's very easy to put oneself down and feel that you are the problem, not the pattern, because the pattern should be the ultimate knowledge source. And once you're in that negative headspace, you're no longer motivated to sew, and that project likely won't be finished. We hope this episode will be informative, as it is enjoyable watching my mental state crash and burn over an AI pattern. What is an AI-generated pattern? We spoke at length about it last episode, but I wanted to briefly reintroduce what this is. An AI-generated pattern is where someone puts in keywords into an LLM and it spits out a pattern. These patterns are not created by humans, but an AI-generated model based off of information fed into the application system. As we've discussed previously, the problem with using an LLM for making patterns is it does not understand the human body, nor how to convey sewing instructions. More often than not, the patterns won't line up, are not sized with the correct measurements, and full of a labyrinth of confusing instructions with no way out. Initially, I was going to buy and use this pattern that we featured on episode 311, the Game of Battles coat. Put a pin in that. I ended up on this, the Cottagecore blouse and skirt set. This came up while using the keywords cosplay patterns on Etsy's search engine. I selected this because the image is obviously AI generated. The first thing is the eyeballs are from two different people. The center cut around the neck is a mushy mush of fabric. There is some interesting copy-pasting of ear parts on the bottom lobe. And the princess seam on the left side of the image seems to disappear. This is a little difficult to tell. At some points, it looks like there's no seam there. Continuing on with the product listing, there is nothing in the description regarding materials needed or even a basic description of the product. It focuses mostly on sizing, and you can't get a refund, this is a digital item. Legitimate pattern businesses will have at least a basic list of materials, how much fabric is needed, and a thoughtful description of the garment design. I had to read the sewing instructions to find out the pattern required an invisible zipper and fusible interfacing. I don't know what level of interfacing other than I needed some. And of course the obvious, the really low price. I did not get video of this, but for fun, I waited until the previous sale ended at 75% off and watched it turn over a second later with another 75% off sale. Hilarious. So I selected this pattern because of its obvious AI tells, but also felt that this was something I could see cosplayers purchase to utilize for multiple outfits. Because time is a factor in producing these podcast episodes, I focused on making the blouse and not the skirt. I do want to mention a little mistake when I discuss this pattern. Throughout the process, I comment on the center front seam and completely forgot about the small slit at the neck because I did not have the AI-generated image in front of me. I forgot that I should have had the image on hand. But part of this is also a failure of the sewing instructions because there is nothing anywhere that explains how to achieve that slit and tie. The instructions state you should sew up the whole center front seam. And the AI-generated image doesn't show a front center seam. You can achieve that slit without a center seam. My apologies here. Point still stands. Center seam dumb. You're going to piece it together. I will say, and I'm a little surprised by this, there is a calibration test on the first page to ensure that you print everything out correctly. This might be because the AI-generated stuff is pulling from other sources where this is typically the norm. Now, as far as cutting, what it's saying is to only cut off the right edge of each page and not cut beyond the dashed mark. And it's really weird how this is set up because you don't have to cut off the bottom. So it's like preset to try to make it easy for you in a sense. I'm really curious to see how this is going to work. I'm so accustomed to having to cut off two sides, usually the right and the bottom, to ensure everything lines up correctly, but we're not entirely sure. So we'll see how this goes. We'll put this all together. It says to tape everything in a group. They're wanting you to do it by columns first. Usually you do it by rows and then you connect the rows together. Okay, this is gonna be a slightly little different funniness, and oh gosh, I already see a notch in here that looks very, very questionable. Please enjoy me as we fast forward in piecing the pattern together.
I did a quick test off camera and realized that the column to row situation it was telling me to do was not going to work and things were not lining up. So I put the pattern together the way that I would typically do it, by rows.
So the pattern has been put together, cut out, and transferred over to the fabric. I opted to use a white cotton that I happen to have on hand. A couple of things about the pattern that already have me a little uncertain. The first is the front. Initially, when I bought this pattern, I was basing off of the AI image that was provided. The pattern and the AI image are two different tops entirely. And if anybody were to purchase it, they would be very disappointed knowing that the garment that they are making is not an accurate representation of the image that was shown. And let me explain why. So here is the front piece. The big thing that you're going to notice is the fact that there are darts here. On the AI image, it clearly shows it as more like princess seams. Big difference between the darts and the princess seams. The other thing I really dislike is there is a center seam. They want you to cut this as two individual pieces, not on the fold. That is incredibly unusual for a blouse. You almost never see it outside of like corsetry, or if you are doing a front closure, you never, 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 ever have a front seam. You don't do a front center seam because it draws the eye's attention to the center of your body right here. It's not the most flattering thing in the world and can sometimes cause a lot of fit issues.
Editor stepping in. To clarify my last statement, it's modern patterns that almost never use a front center seam, including some that are trying to replicate historical clothes. I forgot to mention while recording that the other instance you would see a front center seam is with vintage patterns and vintage clothing. Consumer fabric widths used to be in like the 39 to 40 inch range before swapping over to the current 40 to 45 that we see at craft stores, or 57 to 60 inch at a fabric store. When you have to make every cut count to utilize most of your fabric, a front center seam was required. But many of those vintage patterns were also conscious of where the seam sat. So sometimes it was only at the bust and then it flared out, or there's ruching and gathering involved. Sometimes it's not at the neckline, but it's at the rest of the bodice, you know, things like that. Usually it was more decorative in the seam placement to maximize fabric usage while maintaining a flattering fit. So the AI-generated image for this project does not show a front center seam. Therefore, it should not be expected on the pattern. But I went along with what the instructions told me to do. The other thing that I had is, like, so here's the cuff piece. You can't really see it from here, but the instructions on how much fabric to cut out are incredibly tiny. You would need a magnifying glass, and this is really the only place on the pattern pieces itself where you could actually read what this is for. You have to open up the sewing instructions to learn that it wants you to cut out two pieces of interfacing. This is another problem with a lot of the AI patterns, is it does not give you your material requirements up front. You have to hunt and peck through the sewing instructions to figure out what you need. One thing I do want to give a little bit of credit for is the way that they did the grain line. The grain lines are consistent on every single piece. They all go the same way, so already that's a thumbs up. And I will say from the offset, here is the sleeve pattern. The sleeve pattern is pretty close to what this type of sleeve would look like. It's got the right shape, the right style, the grain line is going in the correct location, but the location of the dots is also a little too far inward, and I'm concerned that it's not going to gather properly. But we'll see where it goes. I also want to make a comment on the fabric choice. One of the pieces of this pattern is a technical guide, which has a size chart for women, fabric recommendations, and fabric needs. Okay, that's a good start. Sizing goes from centimeters to inches. Now, here's where it gets confusing, because the fabric recommendations bases it on garment type. What kind of garment is this exactly? I would label it as a blouse, but that's not an option in here. The options are everyday dresses, summer wear, winter wear, evening dresses, special occasions, vintage garments. I don't know what to make of this, to be honest. Because the vintage garments, it says to use stretch velvet or brocade, velvet, taffeta, and lace. But based on the AI image, it looks to be either a cotton or a linen. This is meant to be an outdoor fabric, something breathable. So I guess this is summer wear? And then it gets even more confusing and convoluted when you get down to fabric needs, because it doesn't tell you, like, what's a tunic top or what's a short top. It uses some of the technical drawings as examples for this is evening wear, this is a tunic top. And the technical drawing here has this as a short top. So based on that and on my size, I only needed a meter of fabric. I absolutely needed closer to 2 yards because of the sleeves. These take up so much fabric. So if you're a first-time sewer, you may think, oh, I need 39 inches of fabric. Go out, get your fabric, come back home, start working on it, and realize you are way too short, and now you have to make another trip to the store. It's really not helpful, it's confusing, and it's just gonna end up with you having to do more work in the end, because how are you supposed to know? The guide does not give you the assistance that you need. So, since everything is cut, I have the sewing instructions on my phone, it's time for me to try to put this thing together.
I won't make you all suffer through 8 hours of sewing at warp speed, so this is the condensed version. There were a number of issues with the instructions, but let's start with some good callouts. After every seam, the instructions state they should be pressed. Now, it doesn't go beyond press open, but at least they don't skip this crucial step. There are instructions to stay stitch the neckline. Given that you can leave it unfinished, at least there's a stay stitch. Okay, now the bad. There are no notes, suggestions, or details on the types of stitch you should use to finish most seams. The instructions say nothing about finishing seams with the exception of one instance to serge the seam at the sleeve cap. Expect a lot of fraying. To clarify, I don't expect the instructions to tell me how to do each stitch. When you get a sewing pattern, it's assumed you know the different types of stitches. But it should give a general idea of what type of finishing should be used with each of the stitches. It also could give a very generalized, finish the stitch how you see fit. That's acceptable too. The invisible zipper instructions are passable, but confusing. There are easier ways to add a zipper. While I didn't use bias tape on the neck, I did read through the directions given.
And all I can say is they are very wrong in how to sew the overlap as well as how to handle square corners, the latter being ignore said corners. The visuals accompanying the instructions are low quality and not accurate. If you try to zoom in, sometimes the images become really pixelated. Or the instructions read to have reverse sides together, but the image shows the right side against the reverse side. In general, the instructions are unclear. Trying to turn off my experience brain was difficult here because I wanted to override the directions and sew in a way that would work. Are we ready for the grand reveal? It's not the worst, but it's got some issues.
The shirt has moved to the dress form so I could better showcase what the issues were. Please ignore the makeup stains. They're not here. You don't see them. This thing was a trial and a half to be able to get out of. I actually had to cut off the zipper in order to take this thing off. Getting into it was tricky. Getting out of it was even worse. Not having any markings on the pattern to delineate where the zipper should go is a big issue. First things first is the center front seam, which is not shown on the AI generated image. It is in the digital mock-up design, but you don't see it really until you get into the pattern itself. Initially, when I looked at it, I thought that it was part of the back seam. I've seen those digital mock-ups before, and a number of times, the way the program is set up, it can't properly distinguish between front and back when it comes to that back seam. So the back seam kind of shows through to the front. I thought that's what was going on. No, the pattern has a front center seam. The next most obvious glaring issue are the fit around the shoulders. They gape so badly. You just kind of want to go in and like do another dart to help tuck them down so that it sits nicely. This much gapping where you can easily stick your hand through it is not at all a good fit. Even if you were to put like another, like a romper on top of it or another shirt or another sweater on top of it, you're going to have all this extra fabric poking all over the place and it's not a good fit whatsoever. There is still also the issue of the fabric didn't line up at the shoulder seam on either side. I ended up having to hide it in the sleeves. So that way it wasn't as obvious. Let's talk about the darts. The darts aren't the worst. The placements are okay. Honestly, when I had the garment on, they were fine. They were acceptable. It's not my personal preference for the type of dart because this was a 2-point dart system and I'm not a big fan of the side dart. I personally prefer going full princess seam, but that's a personal choice. From what it was shown on the AI generated image, this was not the right set of dart. What it was one seam from the bottom that went all the way up to the neck. If you wanted to do some alterations to the pattern and you didn't want to mess with the darts, you don't have to. The darts seem like they would be okay. You would definitely want to do a different type of sewing technique as far as cleaning up the edges. So that way you didn't have these weird little holes coming through and this weird little puckery happening. I would also finish it off differently on the bottom because it doesn't sit quite as flush as you want it to compared to the rest of the garment. So let's talk about the sleeves. It's probably the one thing that I would salvage from this. The shape of it is really, really nice. It curves correctly along the shoulder. The only thing that's really terrible are these cuffs. These cuffs are awful, and the way that you attach them was fairly dangerous and not something I would ever recommend. I would change this out to be elastic. That way you have a lot more freedom in where the sleeve sits on your arm and it's more comfortable. One thing that I did find really quickly was that the armhole was not wide enough. The armhole should have started a little bit further up and then come down. Like the location at the bottom is pretty close based on where my dress form dummy is sitting. So the bottom of the armhole is okay. It's everything else because it just gets too tight. And it made it a little difficult to maneuver. If I had to stomach it for half a day, it'd be fine. But you want to have freedom of movement with your arms and your shoulders, and this wasn't doing it. So that would be another thing that I would edit. Let's get to the back. Reminder, I had to rip out the zipper on this. So the pattern calls for an invisible zipper. Doesn't say where to put the zipper, except that this is supposed to be the top point, but it doesn't say where it's supposed to end. Is it supposed to end here, here, here? I picked, I think, around here, because I was under the assumption that they're doing this for the neck hole, but it's so easy to get in, why would it be a problem? My brain did not compute that this is supposed to be fitted, not like closely to, but snug enough around the hips and the waist. That was me being dumb. When I finally was able to rip off the zipper, I put it back in and I tested it where it sat at the bottom. I still ran into the same issue where there was a lot of difficulty in putting this thing on. And that's because it is an invisible zipper. It doesn't have a point where it releases from itself at the bottom. It stays shut. And this is one of the tightest parts of the body. If we want to maintain this fit, you have to use a separating zipper. So let's talk about the darts in the back. Again, they're not bad. They're fine. It looks like the type of darts that you would use for a suit shirt, something a little bit more formal. When it came to this kind of blouse, it's not something that I would have gravitated towards. What I would have done is made it another full-on princess seam. Just go straight from top to bottom and be done with it. Not only would it be as flattering, it would be easier to do. You wouldn't have to do a bunch of these multi-point darts. Personal preference, the darts are serviceable. Really, the only big issues are the zippers and the fact that the armholes are just too small and not very comfortable. So there's very little that needs to be edited on this back pattern piece. And unfortunately, with the AI-generated image, we only have one shot of the front. I have no clue what the back is supposed to look like. So this is the back. Here we go. Don't know if you can see this, but as I turn this around, the gapping around the neck and the shoulders got so much worse. I don't know how they expected people to wear this. So this is what the AI generated pattern produced. How do we fix this?
Remember that Game of Battles pattern that I said to put a pin in? Ooh, we're going to unpin it. What pushed me into wanting to dive into the rabbit hole and make a garment from an AI-generated pattern was this coat pattern from an Etsy seller. We shared it on the last episode, and I found the double zippers very funny. I thought this would be a good choice to test and see how well generative AI could produce a pattern. This is a pattern I could see cosplayers wanting to purchase and utilize. I placed the order. It was available to download on the confirmation screen within seconds. And I immediately noticed a problem. There were two files. One was labeled the cosplay.pdf. The other was atlas-pattern PDF. Now, the pattern didn't have Atlas anywhere in the listing, but the name did ring a bell with me as someone that occasionally peruses the Mood Fabric freebie patterns. Pattern that I received was the Mood Fabric The Atlas Cosplay Free Daenerys sewing pattern with the Mood logos removed and using the same instructions and images. I paid for a free sewing pattern and a sewing pattern that doesn't match the AI generated image. I was double duped. Because I noticed it quickly, I pulled together comparisons within minutes and sent a report to Etsy and the seller that this was in violation of policies. And I requested a refund. I also reported another of the seller's listings that I could link to a different Mood Fabric free pattern. I wasn't expecting a refund. Etsy is very strict about digital items and nearly always sides with the seller, even when the seller is 100% in the wrong. But with my shock and surprise, I did get a refund 24 hours later with a very simple refunded exclamation point from the seller. I did end up leaving a negative review on the product along with a link to the free pattern to kind of dissuade people and ensure that they didn't waste their money like I did. Somehow that review is still up as of February 1st, 2026, but so is the listing. I submitted the reports on January 12th and Etsy never took action. The listings are still active. The seller is continuing to dupe people and making money off of free patterns. It's disappointing and further proof that consumers collectively need to stop supporting businesses and websites that profit from alleged scams using AI-generated images. These websites don't care about addressing real concerns and seem to validate these junk AI listings because they make money regardless of what happens. I wanted to keep this part in the episode to share that
even those with knowledge can be fooled by these listings. I went in knowing these were AI-generated images, hoping for an AI-generated pattern. Instead, I bought a free pattern for something that was similar-ish to the image. What's the lesson here? Well, let's get back to sewing and explore some more.
If we want to fix this pattern, we've got some work ahead of us. Make sure to have the pattern pieces that you want to make adjustments with. You'll want to have either the proper patterning paper, the ones with the dots on it that are slightly transparent is great if you've got the funds for it. I'm using butcher paper because I have a ton of this available. You can use newspaper if you really, really want to. Also would recommend having either like masking tape or painter's tape because we're gonna be moving some darts around and it is much easier to manage this when you have tape that is very easy to work with. You'll definitely want a bunch of different colors of pens or Sharpies because we're gonna be making a lot of different marks. I would strongly encourage you to get a curve ruler because we'll be doing some things with the armholes and we're moving darts around, a curved ruler makes this so much easier. I am going to be focusing on the front of the pattern and elongating the cuff. Those are the two areas that need the most amount of work. My goal is to only have to focus on adjusting the front pattern and not having to touch the back pattern. If there's anything on the back that needs to be touched, it would be at the shoulder. But I'm hoping that the changes that I make to the front we'll fix the issues with the shoulder. First thing that we're gonna do, we're gonna get rid of the front center seam, and this is incredibly easy for us to handle because all we have to do is cut this part off. The next thing that we are going to do is we're gonna retrace it all the way around. We've already taken care of the first issue where we want to get rid of the center seam. So now we're just cutting it on the fold and we only need to cut one of these. I want to move this dart. What I'm going to show you guys to do is how to move a dart using the pivot technique. And I want to be really clear that this is more along the lines of advanced pattern making or at least late intermediate pattern making. Not something that I would recommend that a beginner do. It is one of the easier ways of moving a dart around. What we have to do is redistribute this dart to another location while also taking all of that excess fabric with it. I have decided instead of following what the AI generated pattern wants, I'm gonna move it to the shoulder. I think it'll look a lot nicer, and that might help a little bit with our shoulder misalignment issue. You want to find the midpoint there. That's pretty close to the midpoint. We know that this is the point that we want to hit. So we're going to make a straight line from the center of the shoulder seam down to the tip of the point for the dart that we want to move. Simple as that. It's pretty straightforward. What we're going to do is we're going to cut down this straight line almost to the tippy point of where it joins at the dart, but not all the way through because we need to be able to move the paper around with some ease. And then we're going to do the same thing to the top of the dart, but not on the bottom side. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to first hide this dart, and this is the easiest way of doing it. As you can see, we have just opened up this seam a ridiculous amount. Now, you definitely want to do your best to try to line it up. It's not going to be perfect, and you are going to have to cut off the excess. As you can see, big old dart has just been added. What we're going to do next, this is going to sound a little wacky, but roll with me on this one. We're going to match this point to this point. This is the easiest way of doing it. It is not going to be perfect. And then you just continue on that dart line all the way to the bottom. Okay, essentially what we're doing is we're moving this dart over and accommodating that space. So from here to here is fine, but now we gotta move this around. So basically what we've done is
we're using the existing line on one segment of the dart.
So that way, all we have to do is shift over two more of the lines. And when we cut it out, we're gonna have this nice little gap here. So the next thing that we want to do is make sure that the pattern is lining up where it's supposed to be lining up. And then let's start easing it around. So you got the point there, and then you got the point there. Okay, that is actually working as intended. Cool. If you want to, you can take your curved ruler and actually make these into softer curves, or adjust it in such a way that you get nice sharp lines and it's easier to handle. So we no longer need this side. Add 1/4 seam allowance. That'll help take care of this, because if you cut it straight off like this and then attach it, you won't be able to get into the garment. You need to have some form of a seam allowance to take care of it. It is fitting with the back shoulder seam, so I don't have to do an edit there. Cool, great, lovely. We love that for us. The armhole needs to be adjusted. So with the curved ruler, what you want to do is you don't want to disrupt the line where the shoulder seam is, because that's what's going to help match the back seam. And we really don't want to mess with the back seam unless it's absolutely necessary. We're just going to be very slow and steady with this. That looks a little bit better. We didn't need to take off much. We just need to take off a little bit. And it's primarily at the pit. That looks a lot better to me already. The marking is a lot closer now, so that's good. And I know that the top of the sleeve is supposed to be a little bit gathered, but that looks a lot better already. Now the fun part, we're gonna retrace everything again. This time we gotta leave this side open for the seam allowance. Honestly, this is looking more like the bodice patterns I'm accustomed to seeing. There's our new top. The last thing that I'm going to do is I wanted to fix this monstrosity. Really, all I wanted to do was add maybe about 2 inches to it. Line is a nice boop. We just need a little bit more wiggle room because we are going to be throwing in some elastic. Very straightforward, not much to deal with. New pattern pieces, we're gonna reuse the back pattern piece, but change out to a separating zipper. And I'm gonna salvage the sleeves from the garment, take it apart and reuse these, because these are fine. The pattern for this works as intended. It's not that big of a deal. The biggest problem was the fit along the shoulders just did not work. The fit along the pits did not work. Things were a little too tight. The cuff needed to be completely rethought. But the sleeves are salvageable, so we're gonna take apart this to get the sleeves and go from there.
Some things I did differently. The zipper was sewn in correctly, but I didn't finish off the top stitching because I would like to use this zipper later on another project. I skipped this part for ease of zipper removal, but I did properly press the seams and I did press the fabric down when the zipper was installed so it was nice and clean. I attached the sleeves to the armholes before sewing up the sides. This is my favorite way to add sleeves and makes it so I don't sew them inside out. The cuffs were attached before sewing the sleeves closed with elastic added after. I did a double fold on the bottom of the shirt and top stitched it. I forgot to mention with the initial AI pattern that the front and back pieces did not line up at the edge. The front was a bit longer. The edits I made around the shoulder seam, this helped mitigate that unevenness, and they did match up this time. And I did a single fold on the neckline to have a clean edge. I would have liked to have used bias tape or something more decorative, but I didn't have anything available and I was not about to spend more money on this. I am ready for the Renaissance Festival. Obviously, you can see this is much better than the AI pattern. It fits so much more nicely. It looks better. And I can comfortably move around in it. And I can comfortably get in and out of it. We're going to put this on the dress form so we can take a closer look at it.
Obviously, the biggest change is the fact that there's no longer a front center seam. We made sure to eliminate that. And that's one of the easiest fixes of this, was that we didn't have to worry about seam allowance. It's just a matter of cut off that edge, cut the fabric on the fold, you're done. We removed the dart that was along the side, moved it to the shoulder, and then made this whole thing a princess seam. I was able to accomplish this because of my experience. And the way that I showcased it to you was using the pivot method. Your results may vary. I would strongly encourage you to take classes, look into more about the pattern making process, what it takes to do adjustments and alterations on patterns of that level, because it can get really, really tricky. But the results can be fantastic and you have something that's custom made to you and will fit your needs. So the next big thing to show off, obviously, is the shoulders. We no longer have this weird gapey thing going on where we could slide our hand into it. Instead, it sits really nicely. It sat very nicely on me. I was very happy with that. Another big thing is we fixed the armholes. So they're actually a lot wider now. It's a little difficult to tell because when we worked with the pattern, I only took off, gosh, maybe even like 1/8 around the armholes. And this did wonders for me because now I can easily move my arms around very, very comfortably. The sleeve, we kept it the same. What we did instead was we changed the cuff. The cuff is now elastic. The original cuff wasn't the worst thing, but it wasn't the best either. It was tricky to sew, and it may have been a little dangerous for first timers to try to run that through a sewing machine. I would have hand sewed instead. This, you could run through a sewing machine and it's comfortable. It actually made me realize in the process of putting all of this together, how off the markings are on the AI pattern, because you can still see some of the pencil marks that I left previously. And it was very clear how inconsistent the pattern is when you start connecting all of the pieces together. Let's go ahead and spin it to the back. Don't make fun of my zipper. I know the zipper is not the right color. I know the zipper is not the right length. This is what I had available that was close enough, and it wasn't an invisible zipper. So really the only changes to the back was just changing out the zipper. We moved from invisible to a separating, so it was easier to get in and out of the garment. I did not change the darts, but that is always an option for you. Other little adjustments that I have made is the hem at the bottom. I did decide to do it as a double turn hem, so that way it is a lot cleaner and you don't have to worry about fraying as much. And then the top of the bodice, I did decide to turn it over once and hem it down and press it. I would say if I had to make any changes, that is one change that I would absolutely make. If I had bias tape available or I had the time to create bias tape, I would do the whole neckline with bias tape. It would look a lot cleaner and it would be much prettier. The second thing that I would do is I would change the location of the dart on the back to match up with the new princess seam line on the front. I dislike that they're in two different spaces, but that's a personal preference. You're not required to do that, but you could take the dart from the back and shift it over so it matches up with the new seam from the princess seam in the front. Overall, this is so much better than the AI pattern.
What is the message to take away from this? Let's keep it simple. If it looks like generative AI was used in any way, don't buy the product. It's very likely that you are going to receive something different from what was advertised. And you're going to spend a lot more time and more money and materials to fix the problems the pattern caused. This ended up being a 12-hour blouse project, something that should have been achieved in 4 to 5 hours if you want to be fancy or if your sewing machine is being rude. The second half with the pattern fixes and using my sewing knowledge took me about 3 hours, and that includes removing the sleeves from the first round of sewing. The AI pattern took about 8 hours of cutting, deciphering instructions, and sewing. That is far too much time to spend on such a project. If you want to find a sewing pattern, start by using a reliable search engine and turn off the AI features. You are more likely to find what you need from a human maker who took the time to properly size and test the pattern. TLDR, avoid anything that looks AI generated in any way. You'll be saving yourself from annoyances, loss of money, and time wasted. And now I have to take the blouse apart to salvage what I can. At least I made a blouse that fit afterward. That was annoying. Hope you all learned a lot from my experimentation, though it was a trying and tiring experience, and I wasted a lot of thread. I did have fun making the final video. This is easily the most edited segment that I've done for the podcast, and I think it only took like 15 years to get here. Hooray! I'm pretty sure I mentioned in the video, because now I've seen it so many times, but it's also gotten to the point where it's just kind of become mush in my brain. It did take 12 hours to sew the original pattern, then the edited one. And the additional footage for like the intros and outros for each section, I think it was like 2 to 3 hours. Altogether, I'm ballparking maybe about 30 hours to edit this thing. This is where I'm like, I'm glad that we moved to monthly episodes instead of bi-weekly, because I would not have had the time to properly edit this. Yay, good stuff. Never want to do this ever again for an AI pattern, but the whole process of the video editing was enjoyable to me. So let us know your thoughts. We'd love to get your feedback on this episode. If you all enjoy it, we'll do more like this, just not on AI-generated sewing patterns. We cannot and will not go back to that. I think we have said our piece on it. Or if you didn't like it, that's fine too, because we want to make sure that we're creating content that you all want to see and that we like to make. So make sure to check us out on our social media, which you can see located over here for those who are watching us, and in our show notes below. Visit us on cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, on YouTube as CosPodcast, and on Blue Sky as CosPod. Remember that all of our videos will be on YouTube along with the exclusive after sessions, which is the show after the show. You can also email us at podcast@cospod.org. And with that, be sure to stay safe and healthy so we can all see your shining happy faces at a local convention ASAP. We hope you all have a wonderful day. Happy cosplaying, and we'll see you next time.